Ribbon Beer presents Blue Ribbon Town, starring Groucho Marx with his special guest, the peppy Bob Hope Pepsodent gal, Vera Vane.
Come on down to Blue Ribbon Town, where you'll drown your daily care. Double in.
With Chap Happy Vera Vay coming to visit us, we're all looking forward to a good time in Blue Ribbon Town tonight. Extending a welcome hand are Faye McKenzie, Leo Gorsi, Bill Days, Robert R. Brewster and his Blue Ribbon Blenders, yours truly, Ken Niles, and here, standing over a hot stove, cooking up laughs, Groucho Marx. Well, Groucho, I see the cook situation isn't clearing up at your house.
No, Niles, it's getting even worse. It's impossible to hire a good cook nowadays. Why, the one that stormed out this morning used to drive a bus. She gave me plenty of trouble.
A woman bus driver, huh?
Yes, last night we had turkey, and every time I started to carve the wing, she kept yelling, "Please keep moving, there's plenty of room in the back."
Well, Groucho, it is awfully hard for a man to run a house by himself.
Yes, I've thought about that, Niles, and I've come to a great decision.
What's that, Groucho?
Ken, I'm going to get married.
Oh, but Groucho, isn't this rather sudden?
I can't help it. I can't go on any longer with this empty feeling.
Oh, I see. You're hungry for companionship.
No, I'm just hungry.
Well, Groucho, would you marry a woman just because she was a good cook?
Can you think of another way of getting a cook? Ah, marriage. When I think about marriage is going to mean to me, I come home after a hard day's work at the pool room and look into my wife's clear chicken consomme. Smell the fragrance of her roast beef. And after dinner in the living room, I hold tenderly in my lap a lemon meringue pie. Takes a lot of crust to say that.
And I suppose after you're married a while, you'll hear the patter of little pig's feet.
Watch yourself, Niles. You're speaking of the pig I love.
Hello, Mr. Marx. Hello, Ken.
Oh, hello, Bill. Say, did you hear the news? Groucho's getting married.
Getting married?
Yeah.
Mr. Marx, are you sure you've given this enough serious thought? You know a man doesn't get married every day.
He doesn't? Son, apparently you don't read the Hollywood newspapers.
But, Mr. Marx, do you realize what a solemn step you're taking? Why, do you know that according to vital statistics, in 1921, in the state of Kansas alone, 78% of the people who voted in the gubernatorial election had been married to the same person for an average of 7 1/3 years. And those are statistics.
What has that got to do with my marriage?
Nothing, but isn't it educational? I love statistics. I'm crazy about figures.
Oh, you men are all alike.
Hello, fellas.
Hello, Faye. Say, did you hear about Mr. Marx? He's getting married.
Groucho getting married? Oh, I think it's wonderful. I always approve of a man getting married. That's something I endorse.
You do? Well, just sign on the back of my neck. Or neck on the back of my son.
Well, anyhow, Faye,
we have Groucho... all two-way jokes here.
But, Faye,
listen. Take it or leave it, it's called.
You know, Faye, Groucho's not marrying for love and romance. He's marrying this woman because she's a good housekeeper and a good cook.
Oh, Groucho, you're not just marrying this woman because there's a help shortage.
Why not? She's marrying me because there's a man shortage.
Mr. Marx, you haven't told us who your blushing bride is.
Yes, Groucho, where did you meet her?
I haven't met her yet, but I have a picture of her. It's right here.
Oh, in that picture album?
That's not a picture album. That's the spring catalog of best bets from the Blue Ribbon Matrimonial Agency. There's her picture. Page 12, number 98.
Let's see. Why, Groucho, that isn't number 98. It's number 86.
86?
Sure. You were looking at her picture upside down.
She looks better that way. Well, if she isn't number 98, I wonder who is. That's the number I asked for when I called the matrimonial agency. They're sending her right over.
Here's number 98. This one can't cook, can't clean, can't launder. All she wants is love.
Love? I've been duped. What's the name of this romantic creature?
Vera Vague.
Vera Vague? There's no time to lose. Lock all the windows. Shut the doors. Bar the entrances. I've got to keep that she-wolf from my door.
Well, Groucho is working out a plan to keep Vera Vague from establishing a beachhead at 33 Blue Ribbon Lane. Bobby R. Brewster and his Blue Ribbon Blenders present Major Meredith Wilson's salute to the wax, Yankee Doodle Girl.
American, the Yankee Doodle Girl has gone to war. And when you mention to Americans
You'll mention every woman in the corps.
Every miss in the ranks means a hit for the Yanks.
For the Yankee Doodle boy across the fall. Attention, new American. Till the Yankee Doodle girl comes home. With the Army, the Air Corps, the flag to do and dare for.
More lilting tune I haven't heard this side of Erin.
Faith, and I can do with a bit of Erin myself.
Oh, do you like Erin?
Yes, especially marinated Erin. Say, Niles, who is this cheerful brat of a lad?
Why, Groucho, sure, and this is Happy O'Leary, the war correspondent.
And is it, though?
Yes, it is. Tell him why you're Happy O'Leary.
Sure, and I haven't got time to get sad or despondent. I keep on the go as a war correspondent. I travel in transports and trucks and in clippers. Today I eat rice cakes and tomorrow it's kippers. I send you the news from the farthest solution. I pound out the latest dispatch from the Russian. But brother, when I hit the stage, you should hear how I pound on the table for blue ribbon beer.
Well, no wonder they call you Happy O'Leary. Yes, when you get together with old friends whom you haven't seen for a long time, well, somehow the occasion seems to call for a brimming glass of delicious Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. For now, more than ever, this great beer has become America's symbol of friendly companionship. A welcome gesture of hospitality that everybody understands and appreciates. Serve it proudly. For no matter where you go, there is no finer beer, no finer blend than Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Hey, Moxie, are you home?
Well, if it isn't Blue Ribbon Town's overage problem child, Leo Gorsy. Come in, Leo.
Hey, I just heard the good news about you getting hitched.
Getting hitched? That's a fine way to talk about the sacred institution of matrimony.
Oh, excuse me. I meant I heard the news of your entering the blissful state of holy deadlock.
Well, maybe hitch was the better way to put it. How did you find out about my so-called marriage?
Hey, it's all over town. The headlines in every paper says Groucho Marx to marry. I even saw a theater sign announcing it.
The theater marquee announcing my marriage? What did it say?
Didn't say nothing. I had to read it.
Come, Corsi. What did it say about my marriage?
Well, it said, double feature next week. A lady takes a chance with the wolf man. Anyway, Marxie, I want you to know I think it's doing the right thing. I love it. It's wonderful to be in love, especially when you're in love with someone you like.
Leo, that's a very astute remark, and I might add, it comes from a very astupid person. Have you any other pearls of wisdom you'd like to dispose of?
Marcy, you're taking a very bitter altitude. If you're in love, don't hide it. Be gay. Love is a beautiful thing, Marcy. When you're in love, the bees is always singing. The bees is always buzzing, and the little butterflies is always making butter.
Yeah, you can save coupons that way. Gorsy, you don't understand. I thought I was marrying a good housekeeper, but instead I'm stuck with a woman who isn't interested in anything but romance.
Yeah? Gee, that's compressing. We gotta do something drastic to get rid of that dame.
Exactly.
Hey, I got it. She wants romance? Be insulting to the dame. Coin her up. Be the kind of a guy that's no good at lovemaking. Make her think you're just no good as a husband. Make her think you're just a useless jerk.
No, I'd rather just be myself.
That's what I mean.
Come in. I knew that door was going to knock there. Hello. How are you?
Hello, Groucho. Here I am, your little fiancé, Vera Vag. Groucho Marx, don't stand there with that blank expression. We've met before. I'm number 98, Vera Vague. Don't you remember me?
Vera Vague? I should remember you. I never forget a face.
Well, then why don't you remember me?
Call that a face?
What idea? Of course I call it a face. It's been a face for years. I've had it ever since I was a little girl.
Well, it's about time you outgrew it.
Bless your heart. You're so cute. But I don't care. Let's get married.
Vera, I can't marry you.
Oh, dear, those horrible familiar words.
But, Vera, a man of my position should have a very elegant wife. I couldn't afford to marry a woman unless she was very ritzy, very snooty.
That's just why you should marry me. Down in Hollywood, they consider me the snootiest person in the neighborhood.
They do?
Yes, I've got the biggest snoot on the block. What are we waiting for? Let's get married.
Not so hasty, my pretty one. And when I call you my pretty one, that's just a figure of speech. I'd rather have a figure of speech than your figure. Anyhow, how do you know I'm the type of man you want for a husband?
You're alive, aren't you?
Well, there's been considerable debate about that.
Now, Gaucho Marx, even though you're doing your best to conceal it, I know that deep down you're very sweet and kind and generous. And when I'm your wife, you'll always be thinking of what you can get for me, won't you?
Yes, and I'll accept any reasonable offer.
Oh, you dear boy, you. Haven't you got a head on you, though? For a wedding present, I think I'll buy you a pincushion. Then you'll have something to rest your little pinhead on.
But, Vera, I insist I'm not the man for you.
Oh, yes, you are. I've always wanted a man like you. A man who, when he presses his lips to mine, takes my breath away. Till I hear a strange buzzing in my ears and I become all empty inside.
You don't want a man, you want a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, Groucho, don't be so facetious. Come here to the window with me. Here, you see those two darling little birdies billing and cooing there on that little branch? Doesn't that give you any idea?
Yes, but I don't think that little branch could hold the two of us.
Oh, Gaucho, just think. Soon the grass will turn green again. The little buds will bloom. There'll be that feeling of life and romance everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yes. Spring in the air.
What was that?
Spring in the air.
Well, I wouldn't mind, but I'd much rather jump on your lap.
I've got a better idea, Vera. Come over here to the other window.
Oh, yes, Groucho, dear.
Vera, as I stand here with you, I can only think of one thing.
What's that, my love bird?
It's late, yeah.
Oh, Groucho, you mad boy.
Well, don't just stand there by the window. It's leap year. Leap!
The music starts and Faye McKenzie sings "The Music Stops."
Music stops, I felt the glow of you in my arms. The band had left the stage and we were in heaven, dancing on a cloud way off in the blue. The music stopped and people were glancing, but we went on dancing, for we didn't know.
Want to marry me.
Please, Vera, I'd rather not discuss it.
But I'm clever and sweet, and I'm just as pretty as any movie star. Just name one who's prettier than I am.
All right. Betty Grable, Lana Turner, Dorothy L'Amour,
wait a minute.
Ann Sheridan.
That's not fair.
Veronica
That's
Lake.
That's not fair. You're only naming women. Well, I don't care. The boys in service seem to find me attractive. I was recently elected Miss England by our boys in Great Britain.
Really? They voted you Miss England?
Practically. They wrote me that if I make a trip overseas to entertain soldiers, they'd like to have me Miss England. I know how they meant it. Groucho, now consider it seriously. I'd make you such a wonderful wife.
Well, while you're at it, make yourself a wonderful husband.
You can't get out of this, Groucho Marx. You proposed to me in a letter, and I accepted. I'm holding you to the marriage.
Vera, there's another reason why I can't let you marry me. I was ashamed to confess it, but now I see I must. There's no other way.
What are you talking about? What is it you're ashamed to confess?
There's a curse on the men of the Marx family. The Marxist curse.
They do.
Don't you understand, Vera? There's a curse on all male Marxists. Everyone who marries becomes a tyrant, a beast, who detests his wife and children, a weakling who quickly turns to gambling and even crime. Yes, Vera, all wives of the Marxists lead horrible lives. Boris, are you listening?
This is just a trick of yours to get out of marrying me.
No, Vera, it's true, too true. I can just see myself a few years after our marriage. The Marxist curse has already taken its effect on me, and I am...
Let us go to the residence of G. Viper Marx. The perfect example of what no woman should marry. We find him now seated in his parlor, a dangerous sneer on his mean, sly, crafty face. His adoring wife, Vera, enters.
Hello, darling.
Dad, why do you always have to walk in on me that way? Why? Do you hear me? Why?
Well, but dear, what other way can I walk in?
Backwards. It's less gruesome.
Excuse me for bothering you, dear, but have you seen the children?
Children? What children?
Well, our children, the two little ones that scamper about our house.
Oh, is that what those are? Why didn't you tell me? I set traps for them.
There's something bothering you, dear. I can see it. There's something gnawing at you, gnawing at you.
There is? Maybe it's one of the children. Now stop nagging me. There's nothing wrong with me. Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, I got plenty of nothing.
Stop. I know there's something wrong. Why do you have that awful look on your face?
I don't know where else to put it. Now, enough of your prying. I'm hungry. Hope you have something decent for dinner tonight.
Oh, don't you worry about that. You know that if I have a hand in it, it'll be good.
I think you had both hands in the tomato soup last night. Tasted like nail polish.
Oh, dear, and I thought I had it fixed so you wouldn't notice it.
Fixed?
Yes, I poured in a whole bottle of polish remover. Darling, forgive me for nagging, but that look on your face, you've done something wrong, I know it. And now you're going to leave me, aren't you? Aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm sick of being cooped up here in this one-horse town. That's two-horse town.
But you can't leave me, you can't.
I want to live. Before my time comes, I want to see what's on the other side of the hill.
But you can't leave me. I love you.
You have no reason to love me. I'm nothing but a wastrel, a ne'er-do-well. Everybody calls me Fluid Drive Marx.
Fluid Drive? Why do they call you that?
Because I'm so shiftless.
You may be shiftless, but I still love your clutch.
I must go away. I want to see what's on the other side of the hill.
But you can't go away. You haven't got the means.
I have now. This afternoon at the bank, when I finished work, it was lying there on the president's desk, unaccounted for. So I took it. Do you hear? I took it! At last I can live. At last I can see what's on the other side of the hill.
Oh, children, our poor, poor children. Their father, a thief, a criminal. How will you have the nerve to look at them at dinner?
I don't know. They are rather repulsive.
Maybe you did this horrible thing because of me. Maybe it's my fault. Oh, but if there was a doubt in your mind that you were marrying the wrong woman, why did you?
Because there was no doubt. I was positive I was marrying the wrong woman. Well, let's have dinner, and then I'll set fire to the house. Then, after that, I must be going.
Very well, so be it. But let's not let the children know there's anything wrong. I'll call them. Children, dear, dinner's ready. Come in, darlings, and sit down to dinner. Not all in the same chair, you dope. Spread out.
Hiya, Mom. Hiya, cranky puss.
Greetings, my obnoxious offspring.
Well, come, Leo, dear. Aren't you going to kiss your mother?
Yeah, kissing is for girls.
Well, what do you think I look like, a halibut? Don't answer that.
Hey, come on. Quit the gabbing. Let's eat.
Now, children, before anyone touches any of the food, I'm sure your father has something he wants to say. Speak, father.
Pass the meatballs.
Salto, dear, don't you remember what day this is?
No, pass the meatballs.
Dear, you must remember, this is my birthday.
Then happy birthday and pass the meatballs.
Now, Junior, don't be so careless with your food. You're soiling the tablecloth.
What are you talking about? I'm eating very neat.
You call that neat, hanging your lower lip under the plate and banking the peas in off the meatballs?
Well, I couldn't make it off the carrots. It's a two-cushion shot.
Daddy, since this is Mommy's birthday, aren't you going to get her something?
Yeah, ain't you going to buy her no present?
That's exactly what I'm going to buy her, no present.
Mommy, get Daddy to buy you a new hat. I think you need a new hat.
Oh, do you really, dear? What do you think would look good in a hat?
Ordinarily, I'd say a head, but in your case, we'll have to think of something else. I've had enough of this. I'm leaving.
Oh, but dear, wait.
It's no use trying to stop me. My mind's made up.
Stop before it's too late. Return what you stole from the bank. Otherwise, it means prison.
No, if I get caught, I'll get out of it. I have a smart lawyer. I think I'll call him up in case they nab me before I can get out of town. Hello? Is this Flugel, Flagel, Flegel, and Bensonhuis? Let me speak to Flegel. What's that? He's dead. And why is his name on the door? Oh, he's still in his office. Goodbye.
Groucho, dear, you don't have a chance. They'll catch you. They'll put you in prison for 20 years, and I and the children will have to starve.
I don't care. This is my one chance to see what's on the other side of the hill.
Oh, how can you speak that way? How can you enjoy something that was bought with stolen money?
Money? What money? I snitched the gas coupon.
Gas coupon?
Yes, now I have 3 gallons, enough to drive over and see what's on the other side of the hill. So you can see, Vera, what a horrible husband I would be.
I should say so. I wouldn't mind if you'd just stolen a few $1 million from the bank, but to steal a gas coupon in times like these, it's positively criminal.
Well, I warned you marriage would make a cat of me.
Yes, I guess that's the end of our little romance. Oh, well, I'm not worried. I'm sure I can get some other man to fall for me.
You can?
Yes, I'm digging a pit in front of the YMCA.
Well, Vera, let's stop this wedding march palaver and listen to Bill Day sing a real song of romance. How about it, Niles?
Well, before Bill Day sings, I'd like to remind all our neighbors that the $50,000 Pabst Post-War Employment Awards competition, which started last December 1st, closes on February 7th, just 9 days away. The awards, as many of you know, have been established by Pabst in observance of the 100th anniversary of the founding of its business, and they are offered for the best and most practical plans for solving the broad problems of post-war employment in America. So, if you're planning to submit an entry for the awards, be sure it's postmarked not later than midnight, February 7th. And if you aren't already familiar with the details of the awards, you can write or wire the Pabst Post-War Employment Awards Committee, 551 Fifth Avenue, New York City, 17. All the necessary information, together with a copy of the rules by which all contestants are bound, will be sent to you immediately by airmail. I'll give you that address again. It's Pabst Post-War Employment Awards Committee, 551 Fifth Avenue, New York City, 17. And now back to Blue Ribbon Town and Bill Day singing, So Good Night.
So good night, nothing more left to say when day is through. My dreams will all be of you. So good night. As I write, I can try to imagine you are here, but only dreams bring you near. Oh, After I close my eyes, memories pass me in review, each one recalling just how you said, darling, I'm yours forever. Oh, good night. With a heart full of love, I'll dim the light and dream you're holding me tight. Oh, good night.
Be here next week.
Oh, playing hard to get, huh? Well, Bill Days will be here, and he's kind of cute, you know.
Bill Days won't be here either. In fact, none of us will. We're all going to the Middle West on a war bond tour and to entertain the servicemen.
Yes, and while on tour, we're going to broadcast from Milwaukee and Peoria to help celebrate Pabst's 100th anniversary.
And you know, Vera, we're going to take Blue Ribbon Town to the Great Lakes Naval Training Station.
Great Lakes Naval Training Station? Oh, those wonderful Navy men.
We're also... we're also going to do a show for the boys at Fort Sheridan.
Fort Sheridan? Oh, those wonderful Army men.
Well, before you get to the four F's, I'm saying goodnight.
I'll be waiting right here for you.
You'll have a long wait, Vera.
Oh, I don't know. It's only 4 years till it's leap year again. Good night, all.
Good night, Vera. Good night, all.
Next week, Groucho Marx and his comedy company will have as their very special guest the 20th Century Fox glamour star, Gene Tierney. So come on down.
Come on down, down to the river town, where you'll find your daily bread. Troubles end in their harmony blend, all your neighbors will be there.
Vera Vague appeared through the courtesy of the Bob Hope Pepsodent Show. This program was directed by Dick Mack and was brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Peoria, Illinois. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.